Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Insight into Healing. My name is Alexa Servidio, and I am your host. I have an amazing show for us tonight. If you listened to my show last week, it was part one of my three-part series leading up to the International Day of Peace, which is September 21st in New York City and also all over the country. Today I have a guest on with us, Fran Tarr. She's the director, founder of Breaking Walls. She's a filmmaker and an educator. For 14 years, she was the education director for the Women's Project and has been education coordinator at the prestigious Atlantic Theater Company since 1995. Under her direction, the WP program grew from two schools in 1995 to 80 schools by 2008. The Atlantic Students and Educators Program continues to expand each school year. In 2008, Fran created Fran Tarr Productions, LLC, dedicated to giving voice to teens surviving chaos and conflict. Both documentaries, Bethlehem to Brooklyn, Breaking the Surface in 2008, and the award-winning Brooklyn Bridges to Bethlehem and Back 2010, demonstrate how using words to combat and describe the daily struggles of international youth can empower their lives and inspired Fran to create Breaking Walls. Well, thank you, Fran, so much for joining us this evening. Welcome.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Alexa.
After reading this bio, I'm not sure where to exactly start, but it says you're a filmmaker and an educator. Which one came first? Which inspired you?
I started my career as an educator in 1972 as an art teacher on the south side of Chicago. So that led me, it was truly a life-changing experience. I was going to teach just long enough to raise enough money, to earn enough money, to go to graduate school in drawing, which was my major. I'm a visual artist. After being there about 2 weeks, I realized that if you are teaching correctly, you're creating art every day, living, breathing art, helping guide these kids on their way. And I was also really struggling as a first-year teacher in this environment with the presumptions, the very negative presumptions that were being placed on these young children in and outside the classroom. And those experiences shaped me all the way through teaching photography and theater arts in Denver, Colorado, and then moving on to my work here in New York City at the Women's Project Theater and at the Atlantic Theater Company.
Mm-hmm. And were you working with a certain age group, males, females, or was it a mixed group?
It was so mixed. When you're an elementary school art teacher, you teach every child in the school, kindergarten through eighth grade, and so like 950 students a week, boys and girls, you know. It's a pretty extraordinary experience. It's a pretty extraordinary experience to be able to teach art to anyone. In Denver, when I was teaching photography, that was a very different, because high school classes, you only are teaching five classes a day, and because we only had 10 enlargers, I only had 20 students in a class. So I went from teaching almost 1,000 kids a week to teaching 100 kids, you know, every day, 5 days a week for a semester or two semesters or three. And the same is true with teaching theater arts, in that you're guiding young men and women through these experiences to open up, to share, to discover new things about themselves, to learn a craft, to be excited about the world that's around them. And then in addition, all of that happening in elementary school art classes, high school photography classes, high school theater classes, then you're directing the after-school musical, the after-school, you know, the straight drama play in the fall, and all of that takes your experiences with these young men and women being a guide to success and inner, you know, self-discovery, self-esteem, all of that, you know, it just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yes, and I mean, it sounds like an amazing work. I'm also an actress and have had a background in acting and studying, And I know realizing being vulnerable, opening up, at, you know, I started later on in teenager, in my 20s, and I could imagine it was, you know, a little frightening and a little uncomfortable to do it at that age. But in elementary and starting at a young age, I can imagine the challenges and also the difficulties of having these young people feel safe enough and to be able to kind of really express themselves.
It's always challenging, and yet it's always, as anyone will tell you, and it's extraordinarily rewarding. And when I first started teaching elementary school art, you know, there's a lot of trust that has to go into that experience, even though you're just asking them to, like, make squares or draw your house or with as much detail as you can. And just sort of the building up of trust and skill level and just accepting that as an educator or a guide, maybe I am turning out the next Picasso. Or maybe I'm just turning out someone who knows how to fold a red sheet of paper in half and cut out a really great Valentine heart. All of those are perfectly acceptable achievements for anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like there doesn't have to be like a grandiose goal, just something that makes a child, a student, a young adult feel confident. And we used to do this thing where I would give out an assignment. And one of the first things that I learned as an educator doing elementary school art was that, A, I was running myself ragged explaining the directions over and over and over, even though I wrote them on the board. And mm-hmm. So it didn't take me very long, just I think less than 2 weeks, to realize that if I made worksheets that had the directions on them and put a reader next to a non-reader, that I was killing a lot of birds with one stone. A, I was doing peer-to-peer learning, which is always the best, and B, the low reader was gaining a skill level from a friend, which was great, and I had more time to go around and be, you know, the nurturing art teacher rather than the explainer of the directions, the step-by-step directions. And those lessons have served me well for a very, very long time. Very long
yes,
time.
Yes, and that's really amazing what you said about the peer-to-peer and teaming them up. I mean, that really allows each student to work together to start building that relationship and that bond with the other, and then also building up their self-esteem while building learning skills to be able to help each other and to learn how to communicate, you know, what's going on, how to move forward and start the whole trust process.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it was an extraordinary experience. It was crazy. You can't teach 285 kids under the age of 9 in one day, you know, and not be a little
yes,
a little bit, you know, brain dead by the time that sounds so negative, but you know, you're walking out and you're like, oh my gosh, I just hope nobody, you know, miss, I'm going to have a heart attack, you know.
Yes.
Because that's just the nature of the creature. And yet you look back over the structure of the day, and they've just done this delightful work. There's been laughter. There's been, you know, teasing. There's been this very beautiful camaraderie around creating something really remarkably beautiful.
Yes. And you don't realize the work that you're doing is so life-changing. In my private practice and at the clinic that I work at with adults and children, they always remember that mentor, either if it was a student or a teacher or a teacher assistant, that gave them encouragement, that taught them something new, that gave them a voice or an expression that really was that turning point in their life or helped them decide which direction that you're going to. And it really sounds like your program really gave these young people tools to start forming their own identity and relate to others.
Thank you. And it's so interesting to hear you say that, because last Saturday morning I got an email on my personal AOL account, not my Breaking Walls account, and I almost deleted it because, you know, I didn't recognize the name at all. But when I opened it, and it wasn't like a link for, you know, inexpensive drugs from Canada. It was a thank you note from a young man who took my photography class in 1982.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and he said, he said, I went by the school the other day for some reason, and I went in, and there was the lab, and it made me think of you. And, I mean, it was very complimentary. And then at the bottom, it said his name and his photography studio and that he's a working photojournalist. And I'm thinking, holy cow. I'm so glad I didn't delete this.
Yes. Well, what incredible work on his part and also on your part. Really speaks to the work and the education. And I think especially around this time, everybody's going back to school and got those back-to-school jitters on what's going on. But I think it's really also, you know, being able to acknowledge teachers and administrators and professionals that you have these young children's lives and futures in your hands and how powerful what you do, what you teach really has an impact on these young people.
Absolutely. The other piece is in a few minutes, our one of our Breaking Walls artists from Brooklyn, Jabari Ash, is going to arrive. He's really happy to be involved in Breaking Walls. He's really a good guy. But he always wants to say, and Fran this and Fran that, and I constantly remind him that, you know, I did do a workshop based on the Breaking Walls writing, performing initiative model. At his school, it was very short, just a couple of days, and he clearly stood out. But the reason he joined us in Cape Town was because after that, several weeks after that experience was over, he approached the classroom teacher who had invited me in and said, I really want to be a part of Breaking Walls. I just can't stop thinking about it. How can I connect with Fran? And not long after that, we had an opening, just happened to have an opening. And I said to him, it's because you took the initiative. I didn't really, you know, I did the same thing for every kid that was involved in that initiative. But you were the one who took the initiative. And that's why you're here. Clearly you're bright, you're talented, but yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. They took the initiative. And I was going to say about Breaking Walls, can you give us just, you know, what it is for our listeners who don't really know what it is, I guess the background, how it got started, what exactly it is?
Absolutely. As I said earlier when I was talking about the students that I've had the pleasure and honor to work with over the course of time, it always baffles me how the media, adults around them, sometimes even their peers, project these really negative images on them. And it really bothers me, because once you start to know them and give them the opportunity to be seen or heard, seen through their visual arts, heard through their theater arts, through their poetry and writing, discovering their voice in whatever form it's going to take, you know, then all of that stuff just washes away. It just washes away. There is just nothing but, you know, really decent, good, bright, articulate young men and women, much more so than the opposite. And the media makes it look like, in my estimation, that if something good happens, the sun, the moon, and the stars have opened up and just are shining down on this one individual. But if something bad happens, then it's stereotypical of that age group or this group or that group or this, and that it really concerns me. So in 2008, excuse me, 2006, I had a really extraordinary experience where I went to the Ida refugee camp in the West Bank near Bethlehem in the occupied territories, Palestine, and I did a workshop there, getting, you know, just exactly what I do. We do some writing, then we put together a little presentation or performance based on the original writing the students have done. And when I returned, a woman that I knew quite casually said to me, I think you have a documentary there, because I just couldn't get over how similar these young men and women in the Ida refugee camp were to the young men and women that I was working with in Brooklyn, New York. And, you know, they have these very kind of chaotic, conflicted environments that they're living in, and yet they're resilient, they're hopeful, they're proud of themselves, they're vulnerable, they're all of these things are extraordinarily similar. And so I went ahead and made a documentary called Bethlehem to Brooklyn, Breaking the Surface. And the tagline is, they didn't join a gang, they didn't join a jihad, they joined a writing group. And so it just sort of shows, you know, two young men, one from Bethlehem, his name is Mohammed, and a young man from Brooklyn named Ryan, how very similar they are. And they actually, they shared so much in common, as you can imagine, but they actually used the same words in their writing. They picked the same answers to questions that were asked. I mean, it was really sort of like, wow, these are almost like twins.
Wow.
It was mind-boggling. 5,000 miles apart, filmed, you know, 6 weeks apart, but they did the same writing triggers. So anyway, then in 2010, we took Ryan and two of his peers from Brooklyn to Bethlehem to write with Mohammed and his peers there. And then they all came back to New York, and we had meetings, and we rehearsed, and we performed. So they really got a lot out of it. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience, 2008, 2010. And when we were finishing, I said to them, so, you know, you've had a great time. You got to fly to Bethlehem. You got to fly to Brooklyn. You got to do this great performance. But what have you actually really gotten out of it? Like, so what would you say if somebody said to you, what did you get out of this? And they raised their hands instantaneously and said, the world looks at us and sees losers, outcasts, very ordinary kids, very ordinary. But we have shown that we are extraordinary because we've built this bridge between two groups that nobody thought could even get to know each other. Religions, distance, backgrounds, language, all of these things. And we want to continue building this bridge with kids all over the world, no matter their culture, their religion, or their attitude. And I thought, I don't think we need to make any more documentaries. I think we should just do this program, and then we decided to call it Breaking Walls. So that was the impetus, was sort of this transitioning from being in the classroom and then really taking this classroom model that I was using and testing it out in a brand new environment in the Middle East, and then crafting that into a 9-day initiative that brings together kids from all over the world. Well, so far, that's the goal. So far, we've brought together kids from Brooklyn to Bethlehem. Of course, that's known. Our first Breaking Walls initiative was in Berlin, Germany in 2012. And now we just got back from Cape Town. We've been back a little over 2 weeks. And in that, we had artists from Bethlehem, Berlin, Brooklyn, and Cape Town. And then we had ambassadors or youth facilitators who were artists themselves leading the group, and they came from Brooklyn, Bethlehem, and Berlin. So that's what it is.
Are they all writers? I mean, are there singers? Is there other ways of creativity?
Yes, I'm glad you asked me that. So let me just break it down because I think that it might be helpful so that your listeners can kind of get a grasp on what we do. The first, every day we're doing team builders and community builders and sharing activities so that we keep building on the trust that the bond that we're creating. And this time in Cape Town, we all stayed at the same campgrounds. It was a Rotary camp, and we had a boys' dorm and a girls' dorm and a common room where we wrote and ate and did all kinds. And it was beautiful, beautiful, you know, parkland around us. So that was really exceptional, and you know, to have everybody together was gorgeous. So for the first 3 days, we do quite a bit of writing where we introduce a writing trigger, and then the ambassadors discuss the writing that's being shared. They say what they like about it, what they discovered about the writer, and what they wish the writer might do that they feel may improve the work. And we do that for 3 days, and then we get together as a group and we select the original writing pieces that the artists want to contribute to the collage play that's going to be done on the final night of the workshop, the initiative. And then we start rehearsing. We spend quite a bit of time making sure that everything is, you know, what we call write, coach, edit. We make sure that, you know, the spelling is right, the punctuation is right, that you're using all the words that you, in the best way possible and the best words in the best scenario in the writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start to, as we rehearse, to add what we think would work best. Is it going to be visual arts? Is it going to be singing? Is it going to be dance? Is it going to be a rap? Is it, you know, whatever it's going to be. And we allow that to emerge organically from the script that we created from the original writing.
How powerful.
Yeah, it's pretty extraordinary. It's pretty extraordinary. And this particular piece was that we did in Cape Town on the 16th of August, titled Under the Rainbow, A Village Called Breaking Walls, was very powerful. Mostly those Cape Town kids can sing like angels. So they started off by just singing to us whenever they got the chance, which was lovely. And then the Brooklyn kids came up with, they found a spiritual that they wanted to sing. The Palestinians did their national anthem. And the German girls did a spoof on a very contemporary song that talks about the best things in Germany, the best of German mm-hmm. things or something like that, in sort of this 1940s, let's go out to the lobby style. And so there was a lot of music, there was rap, there was extraordinary poetry. It was just really dance. It was just awesome. It was just really great.
And they got to choose if they wanted to kind of sing or dance what they felt comfortable performing their piece.
Right, absolutely. Everyone was allowed to craft. And we like to use, you know, so this is what I'm thinking. Let's take a look at it. Now, what do you think? And then the young man or young woman, the artist might say, no, I like it as it is. And then a day later, they're like, you know what? I've been thinking, maybe this. And there was a lot of collaboration, other kids saying, oh, what, have you thought about this? And, yeah, it was really great. It was really great. And it really brings out the best in everybody. You know, they're all memorizing. It's all for one for all, because they're all on stage the entire time. It was a 45-minute performance, and they were all on stage the entire time. So, yeah.
That really bonds them, too.
Oh, yeah. They're really, and, yeah. I mean, and it's always nice. I mean, I think that it's great that, you know, what we're doing, truly, I think it's great, but there has to be a reason why we're doing it, and the performance really is that reason. And the audience was just, they were gobsmacked by what the kids were sharing, the way it was performed. It was truly an inspirational evening. And then there was a question and answer series afterwards, which also really, really was great for the kids.
Okay. Who was in the audience? Who filled the audience? Was it all different people,
different ages?
Well, that's
an excellent question as well. We partnered with an extraordinary program in Cape Town titled the Rainbow Dreams Trust. And they have these clubs in the townships, and young men and women, and I think they start quite young, like maybe second and third grade, and then they stay in the club until they go off to college if they want. And if they, you know, they are successful, there's a lot of things that challenge these young men and women in the townships. But they all belong to this Rainbow Dreams Trust clubs in three different townships, and their parents all came. The woman who runs it, Danny Kagan, made sure that there were buses and taxis to bring all the parents of the Cape Town kids so that they could be a part of this experience. And then we invited people from far and near, which was great, friends of friends, people that my friends here in New York had reached out to their friends and said, this is happening, I think that you should be there. Individuals from some of the cultural excursions that we had after we finished our workshop every day at 3 o'clock came. We had, you know, the German cultural attaché at the consulate there in Cape Town came. So it was really nice. There were about 80 people there. So it was a nice sized audience for these young men and women who had worked very hard to have such a successful experience
mm-hmm.
and to present something really valuable. I mean, it was really, really mm-hmm. amazing what they had to write.
To be able to create something and present it, yes.
In 9 days.
Phew. That's amazing. And Jabari has been with Breaking Walls for a few years now.
No,
as you were saying, he's been
just now. He just started. This was his first experience. He'd done some promotional work. We were interviewed by the Amsterdam News. We were interviewed on WBAI Radio. But essentially, he spent 2 days in a two-hour workshop, a mini Breaking Walls workshop at his school, Brooklyn Democracy Academy. And then we invited him to join us in Cape Town. So Cape Town was really his first Breaking Walls experience.
What an amazing experience, a chance,
you're not just
a chance to do something.
It was really great, yeah. Yeah, it was really great, and he took full advantage of it, full advantage of it.
Okay. And where, if someone wants to get involved in Breaking Walls or wants to bring it to their school or have that program in their, you know, in their community, how would they go about that?
Well, I encourage people to, any educators, program directors, young men and women who are interested in what I'm talking about or being a part of it, go to our website, www.breakingwallsprogram.org. And my contact information is on there, even my phone number. And so reach out. Just reach out. And we have a whole NYC DOE arts education initiative that we're doing very successfully in 7 or 8 schools now. So, yeah, we're prepared to do work in the traditional classroom setting. And last year we were very fortunate and very happy to do an initiative with young men and women from the Brooklyn Society for Ethical Culture. They're coming of age group. Yeah. And the work we do is best suited to 7th grade through 12th. But we cover college, too.
That would be great. Yeah, it sounds like such an amazing program. I really haven't heard of something like that around. It's just so groundbreaking and very encouraging, and the experience sounds one of a kind.
Thanks.
For these young people.
Yep.
I know we're speaking about Jabari coming on the show. I wasn't sure if he hasn't arrived yet.
He is also a musician, and I think he was in his studio, and he called me at about 10 to 4, 20 minutes to 4 to say he was on his way. But he hasn't arrived yet. At my house.
Okay.
So sorry. As soon as he does, then you can chat away with
me. Then we can have him. But I think maybe we can talk about what's going on September 9th, since this is leading up to the International Day of Peace.
I'm so glad you segued right into that. First of all, just to give you a little bit of background, you and your listeners, a little bit of background. Even though when you look at our website, you'll see that we are about writing and performing and getting young men and women who are coming of age, allowing young men and women who are coming of age in chaos and conflict to discover their voice and offer them a platform on which to use it. But we're also completely dedicated to building empathy and tolerance. And that's the beauty of what we're doing, that you can bring together 4 really divergent groups of kids from the townships of Cape Town, from a refugee camp in Palestine, from the inner networking of Brooklyn and the rather secure area of Berlin, and they all just come together as one big, unified, tolerant group and understanding and supportive. It's truly, truly beautiful. And to that end, we are very blessed that Ambassador Chowdhury, the former Under General Secretary of the United Nations and now the guiding light behind the Global Movement for the Culture of Peace, is our special mentor for 2014. What that means is that on the 13th of August, when we were in Cape Town, he Skyped with us. The U.S. consulate there in Cape Town was gracious enough to let us use their media room, so we had these really comfy chairs, and it was very, very professional. And we Skyped with him.
Come on in, Jabari.
Jabari's here.
He's here.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Hi there. Just come on in. Come on over. He brought his little sister. This is super.
Oh, great.
So when we finished the conversation and he talked to us about the culture of peace, he answered questions, and then we had an extraordinary conversation of our own about how we can build a more peaceful world. Why is it that organizations like the United Nations isn't more hands-on involved in some of the issues that are happening in the world that are clearly there's so much conflict right now? And we ended up creating a four-person group, one from each delegation, and they created the 2014 Breaking Walls Peace and Tolerance Statement. And we all signed it, and we have it laminated. We're very proud of this. It was beautiful. So on Tuesday, Jabari, the representative of Breaking Walls, is going to lead this contingency of 20 high school students from Brooklyn and Manhattan to attend the General Assembly's High Forum on the Culture of Peace. We're going to ask him to take the lead there because he's the only Breaking Walls guy there. He's hearing this all for the first time. He knows he's going to say, he just doesn't know all this. And I don't have my glasses on, so I can't see the look on his face, which might be good. Anyway, we're going to ask him to give this like a presentation to Ambassador Chowdhury. And then we're attending the opening ceremonies, and we're going to go after, and then about 11:30, we're going to take our group, and we're going to the UN cafeteria, and we're going to plan out and then shoot a video to do two things: build awareness for the culture of the International Day of Peace on September 21st, and also to be a part of the Jane Goodall Tweet for Peace, which is this huge thing that Jane Goodall is doing with as part of her Roots and Shoots Foundation. So Jabari is going to be a big part of helping the other kids collaborate, plan out our video, shoot it, and then we'll put it on our website probably by Thursday of next week. So we're very excited, and we may even, depending on what Jabari thinks, we may even ask the young men and women that are with us from these three schools if they want to issue their own statement of peace and tolerance, and then we'll just write it up and sign it and have it as an addendum to what we're doing. So that's what we're doing. We're attending the General Assembly High Forum for the Culture of Peace because we believe in peace and tolerance, and also we're going to create this video to just really alert young people, like, you really do have power. You don't think you do sometimes, but you do.
Yes. And I think that's what's really important, too, that, yes, the young teenagers at certain ages, that they do have power and that they do matter and they do have a voice and to be able to express themselves. And I think this sounds so powerful on September 9th, really breaking walls for our youth. And I think it's so important now with everything going on in this world and how much, you know, there's fighting and violence, that this is a real peaceful, you know, demonstration is a peaceful of them and people coming together and showing tolerance and acceptance of each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And now, would you like to talk to Jabari?
Yes,
a Breaking
I would
Walls
love to speak
artist.
To Jabari.
Okay, give me 1 second.
You can be as detailed as you want. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Jabari. How are you today?
I'm good. What about yourself?
I'm very good, thank you. Well, we've heard so much great stuff about you before you arrived. But we'd love to hear about your experience with Breaking Walls, what it's meant to you, how you feel about it, and wherever you'd want to start, because we'd love to hear from you.
First things first, I gotta always thank Fran. But the experience with Breaking Walls is just—it's something real new to me because I never really had an experience like that before. And it's really taught me a lot. It opened my eyes a lot to reality. It helped me stop being so, in like, stop having such a narrow-sided mind and all kinds of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And I know she said they had come to your school, that you did a mini workshop, and then you realized right away, this is something I want to be a part of.
Yes, especially when she first came to the school, and she had did the workshop. I just, you know, me, I already always had it in the back of my head that everybody should be equal and there shouldn't be so much like this person has that upper on the next person. So I just, when I heard the type of idea that Fran was setting for Breaking Walls, I just wanted to get right with it.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
Was there one thing that really stood out from you that you can remember that you were like, okay, this is, I want to be part of this. This is something that really inspired you?
So, well, first off, it was the main thing that really set the tone for me was the name of her project, because I realized she the name of the project was Breaking Walls, and I thought about it to myself for a minute. I'm like, oh, they're trying to break all those boundaries. They're trying to break down any little type of prejudiceness that anybody has against the other person.
Yes. Yes, and she was explaining to us about the event, and you went to Cape Town, and just how powerful that was. What was that like? What was that experience like for you in Cape Town?
Going to Cape Town was really amazing. I learned a lot from the kids that we had met up with when we were staying out there. I learned a lot from them, a lot of stuff that they go through during their daily basis, and honestly, I can say from my point of view from living out in Brooklyn, they have it maybe like 10 times worse than what we complain, the normal stuff that we might complain about daily over here in New York. You know, it's like we take so much for granted, and it's just the little stuff that counts that makes a big difference for them.
Yeah.
You know? And that all of the, like, meeting, like, seeing how everybody out there, like, operates, like, how the parents in the different communities go, child, far they go to travel to go to work, and then they have to travel all the way back just to get home to make sure all their kids is okay. It's just, like, it's really a big, it was just really a lot to take in.
A big eye-opener, I think, really seeing how another side lives.
Yeah, exactly.
How did you find everybody getting along? Was it hard at first with the other kids, other students? Was it uncomfortable? Were people nervous? I mean, how'd you all kind of, because it sounds like it was a pretty intense working program, especially when you're performing something and writing something. How was that experience? Was it hard? Was it easy?
The experience wasn't hard at all. A couple of the kids, I was new this year. But a couple of the other kids, like, they knew each other from the previous years. But everybody really got off. Everybody was good with each other. They worked perfectly. Everybody really worked perfectly with each other. There was no problems. Nobody didn't have anything to say about the other person. We just got straight to work. We helped each other with anything that somebody else needed help with. And we made sure that we had got every – when we was practicing, like, we made sure we got everything down to the T.
Oh, wow. How did you come up with your performance piece, the idea of what you were writing or putting together? Where did that come from?
Well, when we was there, during our writing workshops, we had these things called writing triggers. They would give us an idea to write about, and with that idea that we had to write about, it was no rules. We can write a poem, we can write a rap, we can just write a little, like, paragraph or something. I chose to write a rap because I now, even to this day, I make music, I do rap, so I was more comfortable with making up a rap.
Okay.
And the writing trigger that I was given was called In My Neighborhood.
Oh, wow. So what did you get? What was your rap about?
My rap about was everything that I see in my neighborhood every day, especially in the summertime when there's more people outside. All the kids, you know, like all the kids running around. You see, different smells that you would. You smell the garbage that you hit. You smell the person next door, or you'll be walking past a block. You'll smell like the marijuana smell coming from somebody's house or something like that. You know.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's real, realistic, real life experiences that you see and that impact how you live every day.
Yeah. Exactly.
So you say you're a musician. Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
5 years from now, hopefully I can see my. Hopefully I can take the music to the next level, and I can pursue that dream. But my backup plan, like right now, I'm trying to get into a school so I can go study, so I can be a social worker, because I believe that I can grow up and come back to the community and actually try to help, you know, like really help everybody out, hopefully try to get, like, it's just a dream, you know. I just want to, like, I want to try to give back to the community in a way that I know is really effective. Like, there's a lot of kids, like, I want to try to open up, like, a recreation center that has, like, an after-school program, maybe.
Okay.
And have a sports type teams, you know, so the kids who want to play different sports there too.
That's amazing. And I'm not sure if Fran had shared with you before this. I am a licensed clinical social worker, a psychotherapist. So I work at a huge clinic in the Bronx, and I also have my own private practice in New York. So you're after my own heart. So I'm very happy that you want to go to social work school and really want to give back to the community. And it's more than a dream. It's going to be reality for you. It's very, very rewarding work. Very. And it sounds like you're already doing it right now. You're already a part of it, which I think is really amazing. And you should be very proud of yourself, the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
So how did you feel about, I know Fran kind of surprised you with what you're going to do on September 9th. How do you feel about that?
I'm ready. A lot of the challenges that Fran usually throws at me, I'm usually ready. Even if I'm not prepared, I'm always ready to improvise and try my best.
Yeah, and that's just so amazing. And yeah. I have, you know, on this radio show, I get a lot of questions from listeners. And this show, I have questions from some younger listeners. And I wanted to run this question by you and see what you thought about it. This listener wrote in and she said, "Dear Insight into Healing, I'm very shy around people, but when I'm alone, I like to write poems. How do I find my voice?" What would you say to this person about how to find their voice?
Just find their voice. They can find their voice through their poetry. I would suggest to them, like, if they feel more comfortable and in their little corner, they would make up their poems to hopefully, like, start to share out their poems. Because the more they express themselves, the more they will be, people will hear them out. Because that's a lot,
mm-hmm.
That's actually something that happened with me, with making the music and stuff. I'm always usually the quiet person in the back, you know, like in the back of the classroom, don't really interact with too much people. But I started interacting a lot in high school when I, like, one time the older kids was making up beats on the tables and they was saying their little raps and rhymes or whatever. And I came over and I did the same. And that's how a lot of people started recognizing me and started speaking to me.
Wow. And how did that feel when you started getting your voice and people started seeing you and hearing you?
It felt good. It felt good because then it's like I'm making more new friends and people enjoy listening to the pieces that really come from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah. So it gave you the encouragement and empowered you to follow your dreams.
Yeah,
if people want to hear any of your music or see any of your work, is it anywhere people can access it or?
If anybody wanted to access the music page, it's on SoundCloud.com, and they would go to the search bar and type in NBA Space Records, because it's me and a couple of other of my friends. Who we all on this whole, we on like, basically, we challenging ourselves to try to make it to the next level.
Wow. You're so inspiring and encouraging for your age to other people and for our listeners to kind of give people hope and to feel positive and motivated to follow their dreams and to keep moving forward. And from talking to Fran and from talking to you, I realize that this breaking walls is really a platform for young people to feel good about themselves, to get the encouragement and the confidence to be who they really are.
Yeah, because it's important because a lot of people don't understand their worth. And what I mean by that is, like, so a lot of people think, like, you got people who get bullied, and then they get bullied. People try to put them down when that's not what we need to do. In this world, for all of us need to stay together, and we need to all help each other, help one another, so we can advance. It's too much hate going around, and not enough love, and that's just real.
Yes, and I think it's such you know, bullying has become such an epidemic and such a huge problem across all boards, across all, you know, ethnicities, levels, everything, that it's really, you know, it really paralyzes its victims and really, you know, causes a lot of damage. So things like breaking wall and these type of communities and is really helping people find community, find support, like a team support system.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find any of your friends, are they involved? I mean, do they want to be involved? How do you feel about that?
Well, one thing I'll say is that the people who have been interested in the things that I have done, they have asked me to get involved. But I told them if they really wanted to get involved, that one day I would introduce them to friends. But I know personally, like, I know if somebody is ready or not, because you know by the way how they go about certain things. Like me, when I first got into breaking walls, I was hungry. Every time I walked into school and I see my teacher, I asked him about Fran, or how was she doing, if she was still trying to get the breaking walls thing going. Little did I know that she already had the breaking walls thing going on for a little while now. I thought it was something totally new. But I was hungry. I wanted to get involved. So I kept calling her, you know, trying to get in contact. And then after a while, I got in contact. She came back to my school. We had another workshop, I believe, because Fran came to my school for a couple of workshops, but we had another one, and then that's when she invited me to come perform with her and a couple of other people at the Social Butterfly, and then from the Social Butterfly, ended up in South Africa with them.
I mean, how amazing is that? Going from Social Butterfly, going from New York, to then going to South Africa. I mean, that
yeah.
is. I mean, like, wow, that's such like a once-in-a-lifetime experience and chance. It's just, you know, such an amazing, amazing project. So do you know if they have any ideas of traveling to any other countries or any other workshops coming up?
Well, next year, we are supposed to be going to Spain, Barcelona, Spain. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to be in Barcelona next year. I don't know exactly when, but the next workshop will be on. The next workshop should be, Fran, what's the next workshop?
Barcelona.
Barcelona? Oh, yeah, so then it is Barcelona. And then Tuesday, the September 9th, coming up, we're going to be at the UN. And anything else?
Okay. So then people can get to see what's going on. I guess Fran gave us a website for people to look up and to check on and to, I guess, follow what you guys are doing and have an update on what's going on.
Well, if anybody wants to check us up on the Internet, you can go to Indiegogo.
www.breakingwallsprogram.org.
And okay. And people can add us on Facebook too. It's Breaking Walls 2014.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Well, Jabari, thank you so much for for being on the show and for you know, giving us so much encouragement and motivation to our listeners. I had one more question from our listeners. I wasn't sure if you would want to address it or if Fran wanted to address it. It's up to you guys.
Somebody had something from a listener that they wanted us to address. You want me or you?
All right. So go ahead. She's 10 years old and she's not very popular. And maybe you want to
All right. Hello?
So I'll read the question. It says, "Dear Insight into Healing, I am 10 years old and I'm really not that. I feel like I'm not that popular. I love to draw, but I'm not sure if I'm good. How do I start to feel better about myself?"
First, you can't let anybody tell you if you're popular or not, because everybody is cool in their own unique way. Even with your drawings, always just give it 100%, 110%. Don't You know, like, you can always, it's nothing wrong with good criticism, but taking criticism from everybody is not always good. The best thing to do is to just keep up and keep practicing on your drawings, and hopefully one day somebody's going to walk by and they're really going to be amazed at the art that you have done.
Yes, and I really like what you said about not listening to everybody's criticism, because it can't, you know, sometimes it's not that helpful, and sometimes it can be damaging. And I think, you know, when you're doing something personal like writing, poetry, rapping, singing, performing like that, that, you know, it's so personal. So having someone else criticize it, it's, you know, there's a difference between someone offering advice and encouragement and criticism. And I think when you know, this 10-year-old, this listener, to feel good about herself is to really listen to what she's doing and not to have any judgment and not to feel like anybody is judging them.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, people going to talk about you to the day you die. You just got to, you have to learn how to kind of ignore the ignorant people.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, people, as my mom would always say, you know, not everybody likes everybody. We don't like everybody. Everyone doesn't like us. And I think that's just, you know, it's out of our control. And I think, you know, when you find yourself getting in trouble or in hurting yourself is when you're trying to get people's approval or trying to get people to like you. And I think just finding, being true to yourself, and the right people will come around and like you when you like yourself.
Exactly. And that's all, and that's all facts.
Yeah, and I think it's very empowering.
Human nature, people gonna do it. Yeah.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. We're about at the end of the show, but I wanted to thank you and Fran so much for coming on our show. This is my second part series leading up to my three-part series for the International Day of Peace. So I'm very excited for everyone to hear about their September 9th will be your day there for the International Day of Peace. And if anyone has any questions, you can send them to insightintohealing@gmail.com. And there's also a Facebook page, Insight into Healing, where you can give us a like, send me a message privately, or send it to the email. All names will remain anonymous and confidential. And I just want to thank all our listeners so much for tuning in tonight. And everybody, good night and God bless.